You take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 22, right in the middle of your Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It is the biggest psalm. And by the way, it's very peculiar in several different ways. Why don't we just stand and read the... No, not the whole thing. That would be we just read it and we'd leave. It's 176 verses, in case you hadn't. 119. Psalm 119. I thought you would know that, I mean... Let's just read the first two stanzas, the first 16 verses. And I'll read the first, and you read the second, and so on. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with all their heart.
They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I respect the law of thy commandments.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments.
I will keep thy statutes, O Lord, forsake me not utterly.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
With my whole heart I have sought thee. O let me not wander.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches.
I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways.
I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to preach it and teach it and to hear it, to be blessed by it. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch every heart and life that's here. Give some people some victory today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Psalm 119 is 176 verses, and almost all of them are about the Word of God. You can find the listing, it will be called various words like law, way, testimony, precept, statute, commandments, judgment, word, saying, truth. There are about three verses that verse 90 and verse 122 and 132 that there's not necessarily a word for the Word of God. Otherwise, you got 176 verses pretty well listing something about the Word of God and its effect upon you and whatever. Now, it is an alphabetical psalm. I think they call it acrostic or something like that. What that means is there's eight verses in the first part that start with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And then the second eight verses we read start with the second letter. All eight verses start with the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it goes through the full 22 letters in the alphabet. They call it alphabetical psalms. Now, there are only about seven alphabetical psalms out of the 150 that we have listed. Four of them are ascribed to David, and the other three are not ascribed to anybody. Now, Psalm 119, it doesn't tell you Psalm of David. But that could have been removed a long time ago by different ones for various reasons, at any rate. Let me read you, I'll give you the other alphabetical psalms in the Psalms. Chapter 25, chapter 34, chapter 37, 111, 112, 119, and 145. Now, the only name that's ever been given to a person who wrote an alphabetical psalm is David. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of the 1800s, he would preach in England. He had people that would write down his sermons. Then he would correct them, and then they'd be published in the London newspaper when England controlled the world. So his sermons went all over the world. And if you want to know, you can get all of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermons. Got all sorts. You can get 10 volumes, 1 volume, 40 volumes. I used to have the 40 volumes set. All of them just as they were printed in the paper. Great preacher. Fundamental man. He was a Baptist preacher. Very fundamental preacher. Solid. He only wrote one commentary. The Treasury of David. It's the best commentary on the book of the Psalms you can put your money on. Guaranteed. And he made it for preachers because he had 8 or 10 preachers working for him. He had a big, big church and a lot of people in his college that were wanting to be preachers. And he would say, I think I'm going to study Psalm 119. Go get me everything you can get me on Psalm 119. And it's all in the Treasury of David. It's not a small thing. 3 pretty good sized volumes. Well worth your time if you really want to know it. He said he thought Psalm 119 was written by David. He thought the wording in all of those verses and whatever were more like David's wording. And also you have these other alphabetical psalms. The only man we've ever known that wrote an alphabetical psalm is David. So here is the Psalm of Psalms. Wow. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there's 22 sections of 8 verses apiece that each start with them. Now, I'm going to explain all of this to you today. You know I can't do that. It'd take me 3 years to go through this one psalm. But let me tell you, I'm going to pick and choose, okay? I'm going to pick and choose some verses out of this that have to do with the Word of God and what you ought to be thinking and what God has given you that sometimes we treat very lightly. That's the Word of God. The Word of God, the will of God. Look at verse 9 first. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. When I was not quite a man, God got a hold of me and I got a hold of his word. It changed me immediately. I smoked 16 years. I quit when I was 21. I cussed. I quit cussing. Quit smoking. Quit cussing. Quit drinking. I never was a real drunkard or anything like that. I wasn't hooked on alcohol like these some people are, but I was a social drinker. I quit drinking. And I quit gambling. I was a gambler. Now, gambling had me. Smoking and gambling had me. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, you can't force this on them. But you know what? You could raise your kids with the word of God every day in their lives. You could have it at breakfast or you could have it at supper. You could have it sometime during the day where you sing a song, pray a prayer, read some of the Bible and talk about it and answer their questions. We need this. This is the only answer. How many people you know have been to these clinics, rehab centers, and whatever, and they've been there over and over and over again? They don't always work. I'm thankful for you. If you used to be an alcoholic and you don't touch it now, praise God. I'm thankful for anything that works. I don't care what it is. If it works and gets you out of your addiction, I praise God for it. Let me tell you what you really need. You need the Word of God. You need God's Word to transform your life. Now what that's going to take is your faith. You have to believe it. You know what the problem with most of us is? We have a controversy with God. We don't like what God says. These preachers will tell you that people come up to them all the time talking to them, I want your advice. You give them the Bible and say, I don't like it. I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. And I bet you every person in this room's done that. Hey, I don't like everything in this book. I believe everything in this book. I believe it's right. I don't like it necessarily because I'm a sinner. And I've got a will. And my will is contrary to God's will many, many times. What a young man needs is the Word of God. If he can get the Word of God, he can get some victory in some things. Look down, if you will, at verse 11. Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. I wonder how many of you actually read the Bible and really want to know what it says every week, every month, whatever. You think Sunday school's enough? You think preaching's enough? You think praying Our Fathers and Hail Marys are enough? No, it's not enough. This is a fantastic super book. You can never get to the end of it. Or you can read it over and over and over again. There's still a lot you won't understand. You're not going to know. And yet it's a valuable, valuable book. It's a treasure as God revealed himself unto Moses. This is God revealing himself unto you. What a prize. If you got a letter from the President of the United States recommending you, I wonder how many times you'd read it. You'd say, nah, trash. No. It's just the mayor of the town sent you a proclamation or something. Why, you'd have it up on your wall. I mean, look at here. I got recognized by the mayor of the town for doing this and that and the other thing. You got God revealing himself to you, and you don't know him near as well as you think you do. If you knew him really well, you might not like a lot of things he likes. But isn't that our job? Isn't that our goal? Why come to church if you're not wanting to learn about God? You want to learn about God. That's why you come. Why do you think this whole book was written? That you could know what God was like. Wow. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Here a while back, my eyes deserted me while I was preaching. And all of the scripture that I was reading was like one of those kaleidoscope type things that, you know, used to circle. And I could see the verses and they were all going down. Well, I decided to quit reading, just quoted my way out. I had a little bit in the heart. I had a little bit in the head. Some of it was still there. And in spite of not being able to read, I could still quote. And so I quoted some of my verses and carried it on out. You get it in your heart. You get it in your heart. You know what? It'll come up at the right time. You get it in your heart. You won't be like some of these people, depressed, discouraged, quitting this, quitting that, giving up on this, giving up on that, giving up on marriage, giving up on kids. There are a lot of problems in life. Did you know that? You thought when you were young, you were going into a great, wonderful time of just roses and chocolate and love and, oh boy. And you woke up to smelly, dirty diapers. Every time I marry somebody, I say, for better or for worse. And I'll guarantee you something, it's always going to get worse. You know what you're doing? You're preparing for life, and what is life? It's meeting sickness and death and pain and disappointment and doing it right. Now, some people are shooting themselves because they don't have an answer. Some people are quitting everything. They quit God, quit the church, quit the Bible. Because they don't have an answer. But the answer's there. You're making a great big mistake when you don't go into the Bible and find out what God says. Some of you, when you got married and had kids, that was the first diaper you'd ever changed. You didn't change little sister's diaper or little brother's diaper at home. You didn't even have a baby anywhere around you. You didn't know how to handle them. We all are not experts when we have our children, are we? Boy, we have to learn a few things. All of a sudden, I have to do that. Right? Well, my wife would tell you that I can sleep through babies crying without a problem. Every time they whimpered, she said, up she was, you know. I don't know the difference. All I know is I didn't walk many babies many nights. My wife did. I didn't. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Look on down to verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. How about a little bit of meditation under what God is teaching? How about studying out instead of just knowing what's happening on your favorite TV program? Why don't you meditate a little bit on what God is saying, maybe about some situation in your life? I'll guarantee you, he's telling you something about it. For, you know, as I said, I wasn't around any babies. I was the baby of the baby. I wasn't around any babies. Eddie was the first diaper I ever changed. And was the first one I ever walked. In fact, used to get him to sleep, I'd just take him out and put it in the car and drive. He'd go to sleep and take it back in, put it in the bed, and it was all right. So I learned a little something. You know what my wife and I did? We prayed. We said, God, we don't know what we're doing. And we looked at everything that we were doing and thought, is there any place in the Bible that it talks about anything like this? And when we found out what God's word taught, we said, that's our law. That's our law. We're going to do our best to do it that way. And bless your heart, it turned out good. You know, you're going to have a lot of troubles and you're going to make a lot of decisions and a lot of decisions that are going to cost you. Isn't that what life's about? Make good decisions, you get blessed. Make bad decisions, you pay for it. Isn't that right? Is that what life is about? Life is how you respond to the situations in your life. Whether it's cancer, or heart trouble, or diabetes, or broken leg, or whatever comes your way, a car wreck. What is the difference in this person here and the person over there? The way they respond to what they have to face. Now, some of you are right now, or have been, facing absolute terrible circumstances. You went through them. Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to just trust God and go through your circumstances than it is for you to run from them, because you don't get very far running. Do you? You're just caught. You ever felt caught? I have. I felt trapped. I felt like I was in a prison. I felt like God put me in a box, wouldn't let me out. Pray all I want to. Prayed for years. One of my boxes was 5 years long. Finally, God let me out. You know what God was doing? I didn't like it. I did not like it at all. God was teaching me something. It was a very great lesson that he's boss. It takes a while to learn that. Some of you young people haven't even got a clue yet. But you will. God's going to put you in a vice, and there's going to be no answer out, and you can quote all the verses you want to, and he won't answer your prayer. He has a bigger will. He has something else in mind. Your little problem that you got right here doesn't have much to do with what his plans are, even for you. And so what you have to do is to learn to trust God. What he says here, respect unto thy ways. I'll meditate in thy precepts. Why don't you just think some of these verses through and see if you can't find a way to apply them to you? Why don't you read? I've read my Bible many, many different ways at different times. There was a time that I used to read until a verse really caught my attention. I didn't care how many verses or how many chapters or how many books I'd read. I just read until a verse popped out at me. And when that verse popped out at me and it caught my attention and brought me back to it, I just stayed with it. That is a very fruitful way to read the Word of God. I mean, God was getting my attention. And you know something? It says right here, respect unto thy ways. God's ways are not your ways. I know it's going to come as a great surprise to many of you. God doesn't think like you. Or maybe I should put that a little different. You don't think like God. Huh? Well, is God right or not? He's always right, isn't he? Are his ways better or not? It's a given. God's way, I don't care if you like it or not, God's way is always right. It may not be right in your mind. Oh, I've got some things up in this old head here that says, I don't understand that. Somebody tell you, I understand the whole Bible. Yeah, yeah, I've read it once. You don't even begin to start. I've been studying it 59 years, and boy, there's some things I don't know. Somebody said, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to know. Yeah, I know what God told me, but I can't go beyond what God told me. So if I don't have the answer for it right here in the book, I don't have the answer for it. You know what? We need to respect God's ways. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Wow. Go on down to verse 57. Here's another beautiful thing. Here's what the psalmist said. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. Thou art my portion, O Lord. You remember back when God is talking to Abraham? And he said, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. God said, I am thy exceeding great reward. He didn't say money. In fact, he was telling him that he had rejected the money of the spoil that belonged to him as a conquering general. And he said, I don't need it. God takes care of me. I'm rich because God takes care of me. And he said, God came to him after that and said, fear not, Abraham. Everything's going to go fine. I am thy exceeding great reward. Do you think God is more important than money? That's a given, isn't it? But you don't believe it sometimes. You don't believe it. You think money's more important than God. You think respecting your boss is more important than respecting the Word of God. It's not true. How about respecting the ways of God? How about taking God as your portion? Now think about that a minute. Could God be my portion? As Abraham had that promise given to him, I am thy exceeding great reward. What about you being like the psalmist? I think David myself. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Well, we know Moses. He gave up the treasures of Egypt to be with a slave people. Wow. Who do you think he was looking to? It was God to be his portion. He was looking at God and said, God, I don't particularly like your ways. I'm out here herding sheep for 40 years. Some of you don't have the energy to wait 2 months. Some of you don't have the energy to wait one day. I prayed to God and God didn't answer me. Brother Little, why didn't God answer me? How long have you been praying? 2 days. Isn't that the truth? You understand that's reality. That's where you live. That's our impatience. I have prayed for things to happen. And then forgot I prayed for them. Wake up 6 months later, both things had happened. I say, wow, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because I didn't notice when it happened. I didn't even know it had happened. But he did. The things I prayed for, two particular things, on the block where I live, God took care of them while I was busy running around doing everything else. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up, I said, that's not there anymore. And I drove down the street, that's not there anymore. I said, wow. God, you answered and I wasn't even paying attention. You got to give God some time because His ways are not your ways. God is from everlasting to everlasting. How long is that? That's a little older than you are. Everlasting to everlasting. He's never in a rush. I get in a rush. I said, told somebody I would be there at 12 noon and I'm going to be there at 12:10. Oh boy, oh boy. I hate to be late. Drove my wife nuts because I was always early. She said, I don't have to leave this early. Yes, you do because you're riding with me. We get there and she says, you cannot knock on that door yet. They're not ready for you. They said 7 o'clock and it's 5 till 7. I said, what difference does it make? She might be getting ready. And you know, she gave me a hard time about being early. One time, boom, one on time. See, God gave me her to teach me something. Thou art my portion. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Let me tell you what. God doesn't work the way your mother works. Or your father works. Or even the school system works. Before I was afflicted, I'll bet you if you thought about it, a great number of you in here, over 40 at least, would say, I've experienced this. I didn't learn it till I suffered. I didn't learn it till I had to go through it. I didn't learn it till God put me in a box and wouldn't let me out. I didn't learn it until I had to suffer something over here. Affliction. I read a book by the man that actually really helped the lepers out, Dr. Paul Brand. It was called The Gift of Pain. Nobody wants pain. Nobody wants pain. You know what pain tells you? It tells you you're in trouble. Pain tells you you're sick. The lepers that he was working with, they would lose feeling in their fingers and their toes. And the rats would come and eat them off. They don't just fall off on a leper. That's not the way it works. But the rats would come and eat the dead flesh off. And so they would have deformed hands and deformed feet. You know what he did? Gave every one of them a cat. Isn't that something? Gave every one of them a cat. Now, cat, do your job, take care of the rest, and whatever. Well, these afflictions, what do? They teach us something. Isn't it a shame we have to be beat up to learn anything? Isn't it a shame we have to be afflicted and restricted that we can't learn until we've suffered some things? Oh, I'll tell you what. I am so thankful that God's afflictions were meant for my good. You know how I know that? The Bible tells me it's for my good. Can you believe the Bible? I believe you can if you just would. Look down at verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Oh, that, what does that do to evolution? Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Do you believe that? Are you disappointed that God didn't give you a more beautiful body or a more beautiful face or prettier eyes or stronger, healthier thing? Or I always wanted to be 6'10". I just missed it by about a foot. I always wanted to be 6'10". But he didn't let me be 6'10". I wanted to be handsome, but look at me. I'm not handsome. So what are you going to do? You live with what you got and decide God made me this way for a purpose. Amen? had made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. It's God that made you. Why don't you pray and cry and read and study to find out what he wants? That's what you're here for. I can't tell you what he wants. It's you. But you can. And God Almighty will reveal it to you. God will bless you. He'll take care of you. He made you what you are. He gave you your life. I talk about it all the time, but Verlene was supposed to outlive me by 20 years. Boy, was I mistaken. I'm still alive. This is my 80th year. I'm not supposed to live to 80. May not. May not. There might be a big 18-wheeler Big Mac coming down the road this afternoon. Thou hast made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now, look at verse 89. And I think these, out of all these I'm reading, I think you ought to underline and ought to look at, but this especially. Verse 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I don't care how many times you change it down here, it's already settled in heaven. I don't care how much you ignore it down here, the word is settled in heaven. I don't care whether you don't believe it down here or not, thy word is settled in heaven. You got the word of God, and God said it's settled in heaven, and you can count on it. Look at verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Where do you find it? Every morning. Every morning. For as long as we know, every morning the sun comes up. Every morning the sun goes down. God's working the thing out. That old thing still keeps turning. I can't help but watch some of these science programs on television. I record them. And if I don't like them, I erase them. And if I like them, I enjoy them. I watch them. But these guys are all looking for another little ball like our Earth. Because life's here. Do you know, no matter how many trips they put out in space in here, just recently they had one that went for 5 years. Just now coming through with the pictures. 5 years. They haven't found life anywhere. But here. But here. You know why? God. You know why this earth? It's not an understandable thing. Gravity is something they don't know what it is. They have no clue what gravity is. I know because I'm standing right here and my feet stay on the floor. I know a little bit about gravity. I know if I fall on you, it'll hurt. I know that much about gravity. Let me tell you something. This verse is so tremendous. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How about the faithfulness of that? That's faithful. Now look at that next verse. Thy faithfulness unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. When Abraham was walking the earth, sun came up and the sun went down and the earth went round and round. Amen? It's still doing it. Far as I'm concerned, it's going to keep doing it. I don't even think God would allow us to blow it up. He's going to blow it up. He's not going to let you mess around. You can get all the power you can possibly get, and you can think you're so smart. God's going to do the blowing up when it comes, and that's what he's going to do. Oh, boy. Look at verse 99. Some of you kids ought to like this verse. You ought to mark it in your Bible. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Well, I know you think that about some of them for sure. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Is that the reason? You know the Bible? Well, I tell you what, if you know the Bible, you are smarter than a lot of your teachers. They don't believe it. They haven't come to that place. And so some of the stuff they're saying is just downright stupid. But it's what great, intelligent, stupid people have been teaching them in their great, intelligent teachers' colleges. I remember when I was going to school and they started talking about atoms and stuff like this and evolution. I was not even a very strong believer, but I said, no, that doesn't make sense to me. I believed in a God because, look at you, what a creation. They tell me your brain is more complicated than the universe. No wonder they don't know what's happening. No wonder they can't figure certain things out. We're complicated. You think that's an accident? I don't know of any accidents like that. I've never experienced an accident in my 79 years like that. No. He says in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I don't know how many times I said, "Lord, I don't know which way to go. Lord, I don't know what is the best thing to do. Lord, can you help me? Because I don't understand. I don't know what's going to be your will and what's not going to be your will. Can you give me some understanding from the Word of God?" And yes, He can. I got a lamp. I got a light so I don't stumble. This is my lamp and this is my light. And I need to be using and thumbing. I need to wear a few of these books out. Finding out which way I should go. What I should do. Look, if you will, at verse 128. And I personally, in my own mind, have had this verse marked and quoted, memorized. I think you ought to mark yours. Verse 128. "Therefore, out of all of the things that have gone before, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." And I hate every false way. That's one of the best verses in the whole Bible. That one has so much power, so much wisdom. "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Bless your heart. Do you know that's the truth? I have bet my life, I have bet my eternity, I have bet my soul, and I bet it of all of my kids I could teach that that's right. That verse is right. And that tells me all the rest of these things are right. "I esteem." You know, there's some of His precepts I don't like, just like you. There's some things He teaches that I say, I really don't like that. That doesn't seem fair. God is not fair. I want you to understand one thing. Don't use the fairness card against God. God's not fair. He's just. He's not fair. Everybody doesn't get the same thing. I didn't have what happened to me, what Job had happened to him. That's not fair. But God's right. And Job praised God anyway, remember? "I esteem all thy precepts." Yeah, I like everything, but I like the Bible where God is a she. Oh no, I like the Bible where, you know, you can rewrite your Bible any way you want to. Remember, it's already settled in heaven. Not worry about it. "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Look over at verse 164. "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. 7 times a day. I was preaching years ago, and I said, you ought to tell your wife you love her 7 times a day. One of the brothers, he was a little older than me, about 20 years older than me. He come back in the next week, and he said, I did it. I got up in the morning after breakfast, said, I love you, 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 I love you. It's done for the day. I'm not sure that's exactly what God was thinking about here. I said, I'm glad you did that. Some fellows don't even get that far. 7 times a day do I praise thee. How often do you praise God? Do you ever thank God that you just missed a wreck? When you get to work without a wreck, do you thank God you missed a wreck? Have you ever prayed to God and said, you blessed me so much, you protected me so much, you've given me so much? We ought to be praising God. You know what I listen to a lot of time, and a lot of these preachers do too, is a bunch of whining Christians. Amen or oh me? Whining Christians. I'm rich, but nobody likes me. And it's their fault. It's your fault, stupid. It's your fault. We whine, and God has blessed us. You are the richest people that have ever lived. In all of history, from Adam and Eve down to this time, in the entire whole world, you that are alive today in this America are the absolute richest people that have ever lived. Kings did not have what you have. I read about kings, and they said they had the particular pleasure of kings that they could have these singing men and women. You just go in there and punch a little button, you know. You walk down the road with 2 things in here, and you're listening to all the best singing in the world. We have the greatest entertainment. Yes, it distracts us. Yes, it hurts us. Yes, it's still the greatest. David didn't have it. Solomon didn't have it. Queen of England didn't have it. Do you realize how rich you are? Even today, in comparison to the rest of the world. I don't think you can understand that on a visit. I think you have to live in a foreign country for a while to really get the picture of how good the people on welfare have it right here. And you're not on welfare, how much better you got it. You drive new cars. They give you thousands of dollars if hail dings them. My kids go on vacation. Woohoo! I got money from dings in my car. That's how rich you are. Oh, listen to me. You are so blessed by God. You ought to be giving Him praise 7 times a day. You ought to just walk around and look and say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for this, and praise you, Lord, for that. I'm supposed to be dead several times, but now I got a pacemaker, and I got a defibrillator, and I got diabetic needles, and I got 18 pills a day. I don't know. It really confuses me how that pill knows to go to my nose, and the other pill knows to go to my pancreas. It befuddles the mind. And yet here I am. I ate my pills this morning. I took my shots this morning. And I'm alive to go over time. Great peace, and I'll finish with this, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you knew the Bible better, you would not get offended. I deal with offended Christians all the time. People come, people go. People come in and say, I don't like you, you're too mean, you're too ugly, you're too whatever. And they say, I'm not coming back anymore. Go, okay, go ahead. No problem. Somebody, Brent, at 19 years old, was preaching in church. And he said, well, Janice and I, they just got married, said, we're not going to practice any birth control. That's all he said. Went on with the rest of his message. I'm out working on a car. I got grease all over me. And one of my church members calls me up. He says, oh, man, are you going to rebuke him? I said, what are you talking about? He said, Brent said sex from the pulpit. I said, brother, do you have a television? He said, yes, I do. Do you ever watch it? Yes, I do. Then why are you offended about a preacher saying anything about sex from the pulpit? But he left the church. You know why? He didn't have enough of the Bible in him. He hadn't meditated enough on God's ways. He didn't realize that sex is a very important part of life and it needs to be discussed. It ought to be preached on. It ought to be done plainly. You mothers and fathers ought to be talking to your children plainly about sex. Some of your kids are really ignorant. You don't think they are. They are ignorant. Wow. Nothing shall offend them. You know what's going to keep you going to church? Whether you got cancer, whether you got a broken back, whether you've lost your job, whether you're living on welfare, whether you don't even have welfare. Nothing shall offend them. What did he say? What did he say? If you know God and you know God's word, nothing can offend you. Isn't that right? Jesus said, don't fear them that kill the body and have no more that they can do to you. Well, you know anybody on this earth can do something to you after you're dead and hurt you? Hey, you can take this thing and barbecue it if you want to after I die. Doesn't make me a bit of difference. No, you can't hurt me then. I'm already in heaven enjoying the streets of gold and in our fellowship with Jesus and Verlene. Wow, my mother and father, my sister, uncles and aunts and cousins have already gone on. Wow. Nothing shall offend them. Isn't that beautiful? You want to know how to protect yourself from being offended and losing out? Study the Word. If you really know these promises, nothing can offend you. You say, Brother Lindell, you're ugly. Okay. I'm ugly. That doesn't offend you? No, no, no. I don't think you're too pretty either. Let's stand. Let's turn to Just As I Am. I really hate to ever walk away